This text in Sirach shows you one of the principles of continuity between the Old and the New Testament. To the penitent, God provides a way back. He encourages those who are losing hope. My sins are so much, or I can't get over this sin, or whatever. He said, don't do that. You come. I'll encourage you. I'll help you. You can trust me. I love you. This is Sirach. Isn't that beautiful? Return to him and give up sin. Pray to the Lord and make your offenses few. He didn't say make them zero, because we can't do that until we get to heaven or get really sanctified, which is why we're at Mass early in the morning, so that we can make our way back to God and be sure all the way back that we have his forgiveness. What an insight into God, right? And so, turn again to the Most High and away from your sin. Hate intensely what he loathes and know the justice and judgments of God. If you don't like it, God, I don't like it either. But keep me out of it, whatever it is. Stand firm in the way set before you in prayer to the Most High God. And then the next part, reflecting on death. Who in the netherworld can glorify the Most High in place of the living who offer their praise? Dwell no longer in the error of the ungodly, but offer your praise before death. No more can the dead give praise than those who have never lived. You who are alive and well shall praise and glorify God in his mercies. That's us. But now we know that the life that we have in the depth of our being is imperishable. It's not only that we have a soul which is immaterial and therefore can't totally corrupt ever, so we're eternal in that sense, perduring. But that could be a pretty terrible state. All, I mean, the rest of our, you know, forever, never see God. And so, how great the mercy of the Lord, his forgiveness of those who return to him. Now, in Hebrew, the word for repentance is tshuva. And it comes from the verb shub, which means to return. Repentance means I come back to God. I'm not just sorry, sorry, sorry. I hope I don't do it again. No, I come back to you. Because I trust your love. I trust your goodness. One of these days you're going to win me over by your love. I know that. I know it by faith. I know it by the teaching of the church. I know it by the example of all the saints. Some of them are not any prizes, you know. I'm thinking of Camillus Stolelis. He's one of my favorites when you want to talk about conversion. He was a soldier of fortune, and he and his father were drunkards. They were lecherous. They were violent. They were gamblers. They were about anything you can think of. And then he was touched by God. And so he did penance. And then he wanted to join a religious order. None of them would take him. We heard about you, Camillus. You wanna, you know, think of our reputation if we take you in, you know? And so he said, okay, you know. So he went and served the very sick in the poorest hospital he could find. And he did that. And he thought that was it. You know, that's what I'll do till the Lord takes me home. But a bunch of other guys saw that, and they were attracted by that. So they joined him. So he became a founder and a saint. Now, what about all those people who turned him down? Well, I hope at least they made it to purgatory. But see what I mean? How many people really know God? This is the word of God. How great the mercy of the Lord, his forgiveness of those who return to him. And it's only in knowing that love that we can finally get rid of sin. Even then it's relative, but it's better than nothing. Now, we may not get as far as the gospel, but I hope we will. Because there's some beautiful things in this psalm. This is Psalm 32. Blessed, Asherei, blessed is he whose fault is taken away, whose sin is covered. Blessed the man to whom the Lord imputes not guilt. Three different ways of talking about being forgiven for sin. And then comes this line, in his spirit there is no guile. Now, how does that fit with the other three? Well, I'll tell you. If you read on in the psalm, he skips a bit. I acknowledge my sin to you, my guilt I covered not. I said, I confess my faults to the Lord, and you took away the guilt of my sin. We're all liars until we know we're forgiven. And then we stop lying. You see, his fault is taken away. Sin is covered. The Lord doesn't impute guilt. And then how does the fourth one go with that? In his spirit, there is no guile. That's the first effect of really knowing you're forgiven. You stop lying. You stop fiddling around with, you know, because you don't have to. You're sure of the Lord's forgiveness. Isn't that beautiful? And you'll find that other places, particularly in the Psalms, you know. And now we got another tough one. This guy comes, you know, he's devout enough. And the Lord offers him, what a life. He could have been one of the apostles. And, but, yeah, I want piety, yeah. But I don't want insecurity. And I don't want not to be able to go out and buy what I want. Pious enough. Now, that's the great temptation of those of us who live a middle-class life, isn't it? You know, I'm okay. But don't ask me to give up something. Or to stop buying stuff, you know. Today's holiday. All the stores are going to be jammed. Is anybody going out there and say, if you want to really get to heaven, forget this, go home and pray. And so, now Mark adds there, I've kept all these. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Marcus, clear to add that, you see, and said to him, you're lacking one thing. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. He could have been Saint Rich Man, you know, another, the 13th or 14th apostle, who knows? Only one thing's lacking, you see. And so then, all this stuff about how hard it is for the rich to get it. Well, we, you know, we got to theologize about this. So, I mean, so if you're detached, it's okay. It's okay. But do we care for the poor? That's the biggest preoccupation of Pope Francis, isn't it? The two things he keeps talking about are caring for the poor and fighting with Satan. Almost every time he speaks, he brings those two up, right? So we've got to think about that. Anyway, today, as I say, my Mass is for all those kids who got drafted, went to war, and got killed. The Americans, the Germans, the Japanese, the Poles, the Russians, the who knows. Because somebody said, we'll have a war. Now, they're too old and too fat to go. But they send the kids. Why? To get more money, get more land, get more power. Who knows why sometimes. Or even to foster an ideology. You get the picture, huh? What's asked of us is really quite easy. Because it frees us from so much. And it opens up for us the door to eternity.